is a great weekend for you to be here online. I'm really excited to introduce to you our special guest speaker this weekend. I know him very well. It's my dad. Leon Thronis is here. He has spent the better part of 40 years as a lead pastor in the Alliance, our denomination, in Western Canada. He currently serves as an associate pastor at Chilliwack Alliance Church. Wisdom like crazy. You are going to be so blessed as he preaches this weekend.
Well, hello, online congregation. It's good to be with you today. Some of you are online from afar. Some of you are online from close to Kamloops. I hope that you will feel like you are part of a true congregation that's all gathering together today. We're going to be looking at a few scriptures today, and I hope you have your Bible. Do you have your Bible? Whether it's old school like mine, or whether it's on your device, but we're going to be looking at a few passages of scripture. We might have them up here as well, but it's good for you to look. So we're going to go to Galatians chapter 5. So if you can find Galatians chapter 5, that would be great. We'll kind of springboard off of there, and then we'll move to another couple passages as well. So, well, I'll find it here in a minute. Did you know this is Mother's Day weekend? For those of you who didn't, you might want to get busy. And I congratulate all mothers who are participating in the service today. You know, Mother's Day is kind of a mixed bag for us. I mean, there are many, many who've had or do have a wonderful mother. Many have a Christian mother. Some of you wish you could be a mother and it has not transpired. Some, sadly, have been a mother and lost a child. You know, it's a complete mixed bag. And yet, through this whole thing, we shoot for the ideal and we live in the real. And so I just want to congratulate mothers on this weekend. My mom has been gone. It's already 15 years my mom has been gone. And so I think about her. I grew up in a busy pastor's home. My dad and mom were a pastoral couple, and so we had a really busy home on Sundays when we would go to church. Now my dad would go early to service because, you know, he has to open up the doors and he has to turn on the furnace and he has to put the final touches on his sermon, and it's a holy thing to do to get to the church early. And so he would leave my mom with us five kids to get ready for church. And that was a test of anybody's holiness. I'm just telling you that right now. So mom would have to try to herd us and get us out of the door. And often my mom would teach Sunday school, or she'd play piano in church. She had all kinds of things to do. And so it was a really busy time for my mom. And then my dad would surprise her at the end of service and say, by the way, I invited this new family over for lunch today. And so we would get in the car and scoot home. And I'm just telling you that my mom served a lot of people buns and cheese whiz over the years. And so I just want to take a minute to honor my mother today. She was a mighty woman in prayer, and we think fondly of her and our family. So Pastor Chris is taking us through a series of messages called The Beautiful Life. And the theme today for our time is peace. Now, for those of you who are moms with little kids, maybe that is not really something that you're knowing right now is a lot of peace. Maybe your life is in complete turmoil because of all your kids. And maybe your kids are at a stage in life where they don't think very much of you either. Well, I'm a grandparent now, and I have found this to be true. The saying is true. The reason grandchildren and grandparents get along so well is they have a common enemy. So maybe you're not knowing that much peace today, but we're going to look at it out of Galatians chapter 5. And so let's talk for just a few minutes about the beautiful life. So when Pastor Chris gave me this theme of peace, it was almost laughable. I thought, are you kidding? We're going to talk about peace in our world today? I mean, it's ridiculous. The last couple of years, just think about it. They've been totally and completely chaotic. The whole place has been turned upside down over the last couple of years. We've had restrictions and revocation of rights and People have lost their jobs. Perhaps you've lost your job over this issue. We've had so many people who have died through COVID, and many of them died alone. And to me, that's one of the most cruel things that happened through COVID. Travel has changed. Relationships have been sharply divided. And some people don't talk to each other anymore because of this issue. There's been no peace there. You know, through this whole time, and I'm a pastor, I have had as much sustained inner conflict as I can remember. So my own soul has been rotating around this whole issue of conflict. And now, finally, COVID begins to wane a little bit. And oh, now front and center comes the war in the Ukraine. As a demagogue flexes his muscles, and in the country of Ukraine, he destroys homes and he kills tens of thousands of people. I mean, there have been millions of people displaced because of this war. And it's anything but peace. I read this in a novel, and it said this: war is a demon in a box. And when the lid opens, it flies where it wishes to fly. Sinful people do sinful things, and it leads to an absence of peace. Isn't that true? Well, the concept of the beautiful life comes out of, as I say, the book of Galatians. And if you're in Galatians, it's chapter 5. And I just want to read a couple of verses from Galatians chapter 5. So in this passage, Paul talks about the reasons why there is no peace. And he says this in verse 19 of chapter 5. It says this: the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. Does this sound like our world today? Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So when our sinful nature is let out of the box in the world, this is what happens. No wonder there's no peace in the world. No wonder it's a difficult time. So now I want to speak about Christianity. Because all of us, whether we are Christian, followers of Jesus, or not Christian, not followers of Jesus, we all live in this world that is filled with what we've just read about. So does a Christian pretty much look the same as everybody else in society at large? Like, does the beautiful life of peace actually work for a Christian? Well, as always, we turn to Jesus Christ to see. And as we look at his life, I mean, as I read about Jesus' life, I see such a core peace in him. Despite all the chaos that was around him, because it wasn't that Jesus kind of walked through his earthly life here and there was no troubles, of course. And the peace that Jesus experienced, as I read about him in the Gospels in particular, it was not some kind of a Zen kind of a thing where he was in a lotus position and he floated above all of the things that were happening in his life. It wasn't that he just sort of denied what was happening around him. No, Jesus' peace was demonstrated in the midst of struggle. He went through the struggle rather than around it or over top of it. It's interesting to watch it. Jesus didn't deny the difficult things were happening in his life. He was fully engaged in his earthly experience, in confrontation and in healing, and in ministry, and in expending himself. Even before the crucifixion. He was in the garden talking to the Father. And with sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, he said, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done." Jesus was fully engaged in the human experience, but he also knew core peace. Jesus said to us, and he promised to us, his followers, in John 14:27, he said this, promising the Holy Spirit who would come, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you." "I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This is to you and to me, brother and sister. Jesus said, "The peace that I experience here, you too will experience." The Old Testament word for peace is shalom. You've heard that word before, shalom. It's used over 250 times in the Old Testament, and the equivalent of it in the New Testament is the Greek eirene. Jesus used the term eirene or shalom. The idea of shalom is not peace. No, it's there's a wholeness in my life. I look at life holistically, and with all the good things in my life and all the tough things in my life, I still retain a solid core in my soul. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said, "My peace I leave with you." It's confidence with essential serenity. And it's interesting, as Paul, so we looked at the reasons that there is not peace in Galatians chapter 5. And then Paul goes on and he talks about true peace. So you're still in Galatians 5 there? Okay, verse 22. Paul says, so he's just finished talking about all the things where there is no peace. Then he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law." As you look at these things, you know, the joy, the peace, the love, these are the character qualities of Jesus. This is what he exhibited through his life, and his life was as much filled with chaos as yours and mine are. But through that whole thing, he exhibited peace, and this is the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in us that Jesus promised would come. You and I can partake of the same quality of shalom that Jesus did. So, in a chaotic world, such as we live in, and it has no promises that it's going to get better, a Christian can live differently. We can know the quality of shalom that Jesus did. So, let me talk for a minute about one of the core things that brings us peace as Christians, and that's the fact that I know where I'm going. As Christians, we know where we're going. The inner shalom, or that fully orbed serenity in a difficult world, does not come from within myself. It doesn't come from, you know, breathing techniques, you know, seven times and then close your eyes. It doesn't come from breathing techniques. It doesn't come from denial of reality. It doesn't come from buffeting myself to be a stoic and resolutely going through whatever happens in my life. No. The key to shalom that Jesus promised is found in a personal relationship with him. So we just came through Easter. It's the most wonderful time in the Christian year. Easter is a time where we remember that the Son of God became a man and came to earth and lived among us a sinless life. He went to a cross, and in a atoning way, died for your sins and mine. He didn't die for his sins. He didn't have any. But he died on a cross for your sins and mine. He was laid in a grave. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead to put the seal on what he had come to do. So this same Paul, who wrote Galatians 5, he talked a little bit about what gives us core peace. Now, you have your Bible? Let's go back to the book of Romans. I think we're going to have it on the screen as well, but it's good for you to go to back to Romans, and we'll go to Romans chapter 5, will you? It's just over to your left a little bit. Romans chapter 5 says this, verse 1. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have peace with God because of what Jesus did that I just described. And then let's look at verse 6. Go down to verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, very rarely will somebody die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while you and I were still a sinner, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Is there an amen in your house? Since we've now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Why is there God's wrath? Because God's perfect. God can't look on sin, and you and I are sinners. If it weren't for Jesus, we would only know God's wrath. But because of Jesus, we are saved from that wrath. For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? It's amazing. Because of Jesus, not because of me, not because of you, but because of Jesus, we have peace with God, the Holy One, the Creator, the Sustainer of all that is, the Eternal One. We have peace with him. It's phenomenal. To know that God made you. He has known you from time eternal, and he has loved you since then. That through Jesus the Son, he has provided a way for you and me through salvation to be at peace with him once again. He has, Jesus said, I am providing a place in heaven where I'm going, where I'm returning. Isn't that an amazing thing? Like God and I are at peace in this life. But when I die and you die, and that's coming, we will go to be with him, and he has prepared a place for us to be with him. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. This brings peace to the greatest question of life. Where am I going when I will die? And everybody has to answer that question. Some people deny it. They don't want to talk about it. It doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. The big question is, where do I go when I die? And for a Christian, to know Jesus Christ means we have peace with God. We will be with him. It's awesome. That's shalom. So my wife Carol's dad, my father-in-law, died this winter. Just not too many weeks ago. We talked with him the night before he died, and he was a Christian for a long time. He had given his life into the care of God through Christ. It's interesting what he said to us the night before he died. He said, I guess I'll see you, but maybe not here. Yes, we will see him again because he trusted in what Christ had done for his soul peace. What a great peace to have. And I don't know, maybe you've never taken that step of applying to your own life what Jesus Christ has done. Maybe you don't have core shalom in that biggest question of life, where am I going when I die? If this is true of you, I want to encourage you to do something about it. You may have a Christian friend that you know that has a warm relationship with Jesus. You want to talk to them. Or you may want to talk with one of the pastors or leadership here at the church and ask them, how can I know essential peace with God through salvation? It answers that great question that everybody has to answer. Well, let's start to pull things together here. Let's talk about practicing peace. So does peace actually work in a very angry and chaotic world? I don't know where you're at in your life, but maybe you're facing health issues, and they speak into your life every day. You're thinking about it every day. It's uncertainty. Maybe you're in the middle of relational fracture, and someone who you have been close to is no longer close to you, and there's anger and discord there, and it's robbing your peace. Does peace work when you're out of answers with your kids, Mom? Don't know what to say anymore? What about when money issues stare me in the face? Does peace work for a Christian? Peace is a gift from God, but it is also something that we seek. So as we start to wind up our time today, I just want to give you three little handles, all right? Three little practical handles for you when you have trusted your soul to the care of God through Jesus, okay? Now, how do you practice peace in everyday life? I just want to give you three little handles, all right? So if you have a pen, then why don't you write these down? How do I practice the shalom that Jesus promised? One thing that I would commend to you is that you need to tend your garden. Tend your garden. Are you a gardener? Do you have a really nice row of carrots that you're starting in the back? I mean, it was only 2 degrees at the Snowshed Hill yesterday, so they're not growing anything up there. But maybe you're planting flowers. Maybe your tulips are up. You like living things. This is a great illustration for you as to how to manage shalom in your life. You notice that you don't have to tend the weeds. The weeds grow on their own. I'm excellent at weeds, by the way. You don't have to encourage weeds, but you do have to encourage tomatoes and roses. And it's the same thing in your spiritual life. You don't have to tend the weeds in your life. You have to tend the good things in your life. You have to tend to it. So let me ask you, what kind of spiritual garden do you have? What's growing up in your spiritual life? What do you allow into your head? How much social media opinion do you allow to influence you? It's interesting. I talked with a nervous Christian a little while ago, and their spouse. They were nervous, and so they wanted to talk to me about it. And I asked them, because they go online, and I asked them, how many positive websites are you looking at, and how many negative websites are you looking at? And it turned out that they were only looking at negative websites. I said, I have an idea. How about you go on some positive ones instead and feed the spiritual tomatoes and the spiritual roses in your life? I like Isaiah 26, verse 3 in the King James Version. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Where is your mind going these days? What kind of garden are you growing? It's a matter of focus, you know. So let me encourage you, O Christian, to turn your focus toward the things of God and toward the Son and the Father and the Spirit. Tend your garden wisely. Another little thing that I want to commend to you in your seeking shalom is to remember that God is your provider. We're going to go to some great verses in the book of Matthew. So yes, we should work hard, we should save our money, all that kind of thing. But in the end, your hands are not your provider. Your job is not your provider. Your parents are not your provider. God is our provider. Little amen? God is our provider. And I love what Jesus said in the greatest sermon ever preached. And are you going back to the book of Matthew now? It's the first book in the New Testament. Here you go, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. If you are finding that your inner peace, your inner shalom as a Christian has gone out the window, then I want you to let these words of Jesus pour over your soul. May they be a great reminder to you again. Matthew 6, verse 26 says this, "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' Or 'What shall we drink?' Or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." The words of Jesus addressing shalom. So, if you want to manage inner shalom in your own life, tend the garden of your life. Secondly, look to God as your provider. God has no shortage. God is a God of plenty. And then talk with God. Talk with God. So, three little handles. Some of the most famous verses on peace in the whole New Testament are from Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. And it says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." How many times as a pastor have I been with Christians who were in a terrible time, sometimes sitting in the hospital room waiting for their loved one to go under the knife, and I have seen the undeniable peace of God, which passes all understanding. It just doesn't seem that it fits here. And yet there is peace. Why? Because they've been talking with God about it. They've been going to God, the great healer, the great physician, the sovereign one, the one who knows our last day and our first. One of the things that I do and have done for years in my diary, I'm a diarizer, is that at the back of my diary, I write down my prayer requests. And then every once in a while, I go through them with a red pencil and I say, "God has answered this one, yes. Or this one, no. This one, yes. No answer yet on this one." And I go through and I bring my request to God. And it's amazing, and I would commend this to you. It's amazing when you start to write down your prayer requests and then you realize that God is at work in my life. And so I can know inner peace because God is walking with me in my situation. So, managing inner shalom for you as a Christian, tend the garden of your life. Remember that God is your provider. And then don't forget to talk with him. So as I close, we are living in a world that is not known for peace. It is known for strife and chaos. And because of the sinful nature at work in the world, like Paul described, it's going to continue that way. However, when we receive Jesus as Savior and his Spirit comes within our life, as we walk with him, we know inner shalom. We know true peace. So let's be practical about this, and let's engage in shalom with Jesus as we walk with him. Amen? Amen.
The Lord gave Moses a blessing that the priests were to pronounce over the people. And I would like to close our service this way and pronounce a blessing on you as well. It's from Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 To you, the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 His favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and their children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping and your rejoicing. He is for you. He is for you. Amen. 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 Amen.
May you know the peace of Christ. God bless you.